You are listening to WRUU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM and WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Hi, welcome back to Parenting Room 101. I'm your host, Christy, and I'm here today to share with you a topic that I think a lot of you will relate to, especially if you're parenting right now some younger children, or maybe you're looking back to your own personal childhood and thinking about how you may have been neglected. So neglect is the topic that I want to share today, because I think it's really hits deep with a lot of us. And when I think back to my childhood, and of course I have grace for my parents and I love them, and I've forgiven them for the mistakes they've made over the years, and I have no ill feelings against them at all. So when I do speak of them and my childhood, I just want that to be the underlying message here, is that I wish them well. But with that, neglect being the topic of today, I believe a lot of us do grow up with parents that may emotionally neglect us, physically or sometimes mentally. But let's just touch on the emotional piece for a minute. Emotional neglect can look like food on the table. It can look like a warm bed to sleep in. It can look like an SUV in the driveway. It might look like a dog or a cat and clean laundry in your drawers. And to some people, that sounds pretty good, right? Because to some people, they don't have that in their home growing up. So that does sound pretty good when you think about it. You know, wow, lucky you. Lucky you, you have your own bedroom. Lucky you, you have a pet. And lucky you, you even may have a mom or a dad that works from home. Lucky you, there's a backyard with a swing set. Lucky you, you have a pool. Lucky you, your parents take you on a trip every summer. But you know what? For some of those people that are so lucky on the outside, on the inside, they may not be connecting on an emotional level with their parents. And for that, they may grow up coming up short in that area. You know, they may come up feeling a loss of connection with the people that they want the connection with the most. And that would be their mom and dad. And for me, I can 100% say this was my childhood, especially when it came to my mother. I just tried so hard to connect to her for so many years. And at the time, as a child, I didn't have the language. I wasn't able to put into words what I was feeling when I was with her. But I just knew that there was something missing. And I did everything I could to try to get that box checked. You know, I tried to be funny. I tried to be kind. I tried to leave her alone, stay out of her way. I tried to ask her for support. I tried to connect with her on things that I had interest in. But for some reason, I always came up short. And I didn't know why. I just knew I had all the other things, right? I have healthy teeth. I have a healthy body. I've never been overweight. My mom was so good about making sure that we had healthy food in the refrigerator. She didn't let us have more than 3 pieces of candy on Halloween every year. As crazy as that sounds to some people, she really tried hard to make sure our physical bodies were well. And they were. I never struggled with weight. I had a clean bed to sleep in at night. And my mom worked from home. So yes, I got to see her every day, but she was not available emotionally. And this was the struggle growing up. So what happens to a lot of us is, if we don't have that connection that we're desperately seeking at home with our mom or our dad, we tend to go elsewhere and look for it. So what I did, which I was very fortunate to have a grandmother who was extremely emotionally connected to me, and she did provide the love and the support and the, you know, just the, well, she was curious about me, right? She wanted to know more about me. She was interested in my interests. She wanted to share her loves for cooking and baking and reading and doing puzzles and card playing and all these other things. So we connected in so many ways. It was such a beautiful intertwining relationship her and I had. And when my grandmother passed away, I remember I was young. Not too young. I was about 19 at the time. And I remember feeling that That was the biggest loss I'd ever experienced, and still is to this day, because of the love we shared on an emotional level. And when my own mother passed away, she was 53 years old. That was about 18 years ago. And of course, I was sad for her loss. And I felt very fortunate to have known her for all the years that I did, as much as she would let me know her, as a side note, because there was so much of my mother I didn't know and she didn't give me access to. So what I knew of her, I mourned that person, the loss of the person that I knew. But I will tell you, it did not hit as hard as it did when I lost my grandmother, because of the emotional connection my grandmother and I had. So the message here about neglect is you may have also grown up in a home with people who were there present with you physically, but emotionally not available when you needed them. And maybe you had to look outside of the home, and maybe you were lucky to find someone who spoke your language and were able to connect with you, because that's what we do. Now, a lot of us, if we don't find someone, luckily for me, I had someone, right? I had a grandmother who was there, a female figure, I should say. But what happens to a lot of us, if we don't have that person, we tend to lean into drugs and alcohol, because that's another form of connection, right? Something like that will give us that quick fix. You know, smoking cigarettes or chewing tobacco or having some alcohol will just quickly give you that hug that you desperately want. But it's only temporary, and you're always chasing it, and it doesn't really ever fill the void. It just feels like it does, but not really. So over the years, after my grandmother passed away, I did continue to seek that female figure in my life. And I was lucky to find someone when I was in high school. It was actually my neighbor, a good friend of mine in school. It was her neighbor. It was a woman in her 40s, and she was a single mother of two children. And we used to hang out at this woman's house a lot, because this woman was fun. I mean, she had a lot of pets, and she was just, her spirit was of a younger person, you know, so we connected with her. And her and I really connected because she was in a place in her life where she was looking to have fun. You know, she felt like she was working all the time. And as a single mother, you don't get a lot of time to yourself. And I was looking for an escape from my own home. I didn't want to go home. I wanted to stay out, and I wanted to see life, and she wanted to see life too. So we spent a lot of time together, her and I, throughout the week. We would go to different restaurants and meet different people, and her and I would talk. And so I was very fortunate to have her in my back pocket as a female mentor that would just hear me and see me when my own mother didn't. So I'm forever grateful for the relationship that her and I had. Excuse me. And for anyone out there who's maybe in that position now, maybe you're a woman who's in your life right now, available for someone who's maybe a neighbor or a friend's daughter. This happens to a lot of us women. You know, maybe we don't connect with our own mother so much, but we may connect with our friend's mother, or maybe we connect with an aunt in our home. Maybe you're that aunt to your niece who's looking for connection that she's not getting with her own mother. And maybe you could be that for her. Maybe you could offer just, you know, lunch together or coffee once in a while, or maybe go watch her recital at school and support her that way. Or maybe you guys read a book together and talk about that. Or, you know, there's so many things you can do. This message really here is for women. There's so many ways to give back as a woman in our community to young girls coming up, and maybe looking to you as a mentor. So I was so fortunate to have these wonderful mentors that just stepped in where my mother stepped out. And just because you're maybe a woman who doesn't have children of your own, don't think that you can't still be a nurturer to someone in the world who is in desperate need of it, okay? So think about that. When we come back, there's a few things I'd like to touch on also surrounding neglect, and maybe you can relate to some of these things, and maybe this will bring you some clarity that you've been looking for. Sometimes it's just the language. It's the words that we have to put to the feelings that we've been feeling that actually does bring us a lot of relief. So with that, I will be back in just a moment. Savannah Jazz presents the Eric Jones Trio on Sunday, November 17th at 5 p.m. at the venue Savannah, which is located at 1446 Dean Forest Road. Savannah Jazz Hall of Fame inductee and pianist Eric Jones is joined by Mark Chesnow on bass and Robert Sanders on drums. For more information and tickets, they can be found at savannahjazz.org. You are listening to your radio station, WRUU, which is presented by people just like you, people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, co-workers, and other people from Savannah and the Coastal Empire. Therefore, WRUU is your community radio station. So won't you please help by donating whatever you can afford to help your neighbors stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station with a monetary contribution of any amount. Again, support your local radio station at WRUU.org. Thank you. Low Country Shakespeare debuts its immersive retelling of Romeo and Juliet, putting audiences at the heart of one of William Shakespeare's most famous love stories. These engaging performances will appeal to lovers of drama as well as fans of fantasy role-playing games and are on November 14th, 15th, 16th, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd at the Vintage Special Events Center, located at 980 Industry Drive in Savannah. Tickets can be found at eventbrite.com and search Savannah for Shakespeare. You are listening to Parenting Room 101 with your host, Christy. Thank you for joining us and thank you for coming back with us here because this topic today, really, it runs deep. I think a lot of us can relate to it on so many different levels. And as we speak about it here, maybe you can do a little soul searching yourself and ask yourself, like I ask mine, am I neglecting something in my life? Am I neglecting a relationship in my life that needs my tending to and my attention? The thing about neglect is it doesn't go away. You can choose to neglect. We all have the freedom of choice, right? That's the beauty of being a human being. We can choose to show up or we can choose to neglect. Now, neglect, a lot of times when you're choosing to neglect a specific relationship, let's just say you're a father and maybe you have two kids of your own or three kids and a wife or a husband, and maybe you're busy, right? You have a full-time job. And at the end of the day, you feel like there's not much time left, right? Where does the time go? By the end of the week, you didn't have a whole lot of time. And maybe you didn't have a whole lot of time to spend with the people that mean the most to you. Maybe there's someone in your life that could really use just a little bit of your undivided attention. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's the dog. Maybe there's something or someone in your life that probably isn't getting all of you. And maybe you could just do a little soul searching and ask yourself, where is that? And a lot of times what I found, it's the relationship that I take the most for granted is the one that needs the most of my attention. Isn't that funny how that can work sometimes? Because when I think about all the healthy relationships that I have in my life, the one that that needs the least amount of effort tends to be the one that I take for granted and the one that I should really consciously show up for more often. A lot of times for me, that's my husband because he's just always there, right? He's there when I need him. He's there when I need to vent, or he's there when I need someone to help jump the car if the car doesn't start, right? Or take the dog out at 6:30 in the morning when there's other things that I'm having to take care of. So maybe it's him most of the time that I just tend to take for granted. But, you know, it's nice to tune in and just come from a place of appreciation and come from a place of gratitude with those relationships in your life. And this is your wake-up call today to just write that down. Who in my life do I possibly take for granted more than I should? And how could I show up for them in a way that would really be meaningful to them today? Because I love the book, the Five Love Languages, excuse me, the Five Love Languages, yes. And if you've read it, you remember in the book, there's five languages and we all speak a different language. And the book is so powerful because once you know what your language is, you can express that to everyone in your life. And they too can speak to you directly in your language when they spend that quality time with you. So without getting into all the love languages right now, I highly recommend you read that book if you haven't read it. It's an excellent book. But I know for sure that my husband's love language is quality time. So if I feel that I've been neglecting our relationship, I know for sure the best way to connect with him would be through his love language, which is quality time. So what I would do, what that looks like in real time, is I would set aside some time. Maybe it would be an hour this afternoon that I know he'd be available. And I'd say, hey, I'm free. You're free. What would you like to do? You have my undivided attention. And let him choose. Maybe he would like some help outside raking the leaves, or maybe he would like just to sit on the couch and play Super Mario Brothers for an hour with me. Or maybe he'd like to sit in his office and go through some future plans together that we're working on. Or maybe he just would like to take a nap with me for an hour. Whatever that looks like to him, I would give him that as a gift, right? And that's my way of connecting with him instead of neglecting the relationship. So think about it. Think about in your life who you might need to spend a little more time with. And in that case, maybe find out what their love language is and then you can deliver it. Now, I also have someone in my life, my daughter. She lives in New Jersey, so I don't see her every day. And I know for sure that one of her love languages is gift giving. And I know that since I don't see her every day, what I can do is if I think about her, which I do often every day, when I think about it, I think, what can I do for her to speak directly to her heart today in her love language so she knows that I'm showing up? And you know what I do? I send a gift. I know what she likes. She loves this specific cookie company that's nationwide now. And I know for sure that if I send a gift card to her directly, a digital card, right? So she can go buy herself some cookies. I know that'll speak directly to her heart. And it does every time. You know, something so simple like that, I just send her some flowers or a gift card. And immediately that just fills her heart. And there's how you show up for a relationship where gift giving or gift receiving is their love language. So just something to think about. Okay, not saying that we all could be all, we can't be everywhere at once all the time. We can't show up 100% all the time in all of our relationships. That's impossible. And the more relationships you have, or if you're fortunate to have these relationships, the harder it tends to be, right? But just tune in, and it's more about quality versus quantity, right? I don't send a gift card to my daughter every day to tell her I love her. But when I do, it's meaningful, right? It's coming from a place of love and intention, right? I'm taking the time to be intentional about the gift I'm sending to someone who really enjoys gifts. So with that being said, think about where you could show up in your life. Think about how you could show up for your relationships in your world and who might be in need of that. And for me personally, my love language, although it has changed over the years, it used to be a lot of, well, it was, it still is, words of affirmation. I love words. I love to read. I love to hear nice things. I love to tell. I like to share nice things with people. I like to tell them how much I care about them and value them. And through my words, through email, I love emails. I love being able to share, you know, love and kindness through words. And words matter to me. So although as I'm getting older, though, I notice that the love languages do change because quality time tends to be more important to me than it used to be. Acts of service is also one of my love languages. I love doing. I'm a doer. I don't know if that stems from childhood, watching my grandmother doing. She was always cooking and cleaning and helping and changing the sheets and washing and sewing, and you know, she was very much a doer. So, of course, I think that can influence a child as they're growing up. I know for sure that has influenced me because at home, I'm always doing. I'm always, not to the extent that I'm exhausted. I don't do that anymore. But I do tend to do a lot. And I like to do for others. And I also appreciate when things are done for me. So, but quality time seems to be the language right now that's stronger than the others. And when I say that, I mean that I value the time spent with people more than I ever did before. And I don't need gifts to make me happy anymore. I used to. I think we all go through that as kids. You know, gifts are important. I celebrated Christmas my whole life. So gifts were always something that was celebrated, right? It was exciting to get gifts. But not so much now. I love giving. I don't mind receiving either. But it's the quality of time spent. It's the day is filled with quality, you know, time spent with people that mean a lot to me, right? And I feel value, right? I like to be of service and to be of value to others. And you are listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM and WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. I want to read to you a Bible verse that spoke directly to me this morning. I don't spend a lot of time reading the Bible, but every so often when I have a topic like the one I came up with today, I think about, well, maybe there's something in the Bible that I could share. And I did find something in the Bible today that kind of sets the tone a little bit with neglect is our topic today. So here it is. Here's what I found. In James verse 4:11, he states, "To whom who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Well, that's interesting because what that says to me is that we all kind of know what we're supposed to be doing. There's a deep part of us. They say after the age of seven is considered the age of reasoning with a child, which means by the age of seven, a child knows the difference between right and wrong. So at 47, that's me, I know the difference between right and wrong. I've had 40 years of practice. So I know what's right and wrong, and I still have the freedom to choose to do what's right and wrong. And if I choose to neglect doing the right thing, well, I think at the end of the day, you're going to come up short, is what I think. And I had a friend of mine ask me recently, a friend of mine that I grew up with. And she said, "Christy, you've changed so much since we were kids. I remember when, you know, you and I would hang out after school and middle school, and, you know, we got into all kinds of fun things, and sometimes we got into trouble." And she said, "You're just not the same person as you used to be. You know, you never used to read any books. You were kind of almost like a, well, she didn't actually use that word, but she was implying that I just didn't really have any set journey ahead. You know, it's just kind of going with the flow, which I have. I've always gone with the flow. But back then, I really didn't have much direction. She went ahead and went to college and grad school and ended up getting her doctorate. And she took a different path than I did. And yet we're still friends after all these years because we still connect on that deeper level because we met when we were in sixth grade. You know, we were 11 years old in Girl Scout camp one summer. And she and I still connect on those deeper levels because we knew each other back then." And she said recently, "You know, you're different. You're different than you used to be. What's changed? What happened? You know, you seem like you're on this enlightenment path, and I don't understand. What are you able to express that and share that? What did you do? What made you different?" And, you know, I told her that I did a lot of soul searching years ago, and I listened to a man named Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer. I listened to a lot of his work. I read one of his books. He's written many books. But what Wayne taught me was that you always have a choice to do the next right thing that comes your way. And you can choose to do the wrong thing too. But if you choose to do the right thing, your whole life changes. And that really spoke to me. And I decided to start doing that. I decided to not neglect the small things and start doing the right thing more often. And everybody uses this as an example. I've heard this said lots of times. You know, when you're at the grocery store and you see your cart, well, I'm sorry, you use your grocery cart, you take your groceries to the car, you unload them. Well, what do you do with a grocery cart? Well, most of us put the grocery cart back, right? But not all of us do. And I didn't used to because, and again, this is not to blame anyone, but I didn't watch that. I wasn't modeled that as a child from my parents growing up. I wasn't modeled to do that, right? It was almost like, well, it's someone else's job to do that. It's not our job. We'll just leave it here. We're in a hurry. We should go. Someone else will take care of it. And when you grow up thinking that that's okay or that's normal, well, then it is okay and it is normal until you realize it's not. And then you start to take more responsibility for your part in the world. And it may seem like such a small little thing, just putting your grocery cart back where it belongs. It seems so small and minute, but do you know what? In the big picture, in the bigness of the universe, it is the most important thing you can do. And you know what? If you have kids, if you have a child, even more so, if there's a child in that grocery cart and you're taking the groceries out and you take your child out of the cart and you leave the cart there and the child witnesses you doing this, can you imagine the message you're sending without verbally saying anything? Imagine the message that child is walking away with as they grow, thinking, this is okay. This is normal. And now you have a child who's growing up neglecting the bigger parts of life. And I really believe in my heart that's what happened to me. I really believe that I was watching in slow motion, actually, because childhood is slow motion. When you're a kid, everything's slow, right? You're just taking it all in. I really think that a lot of times my parents were in a rush and just trying to get from one place to the next, and they just weren't present. And they weren't thinking about the impact that these choices they were making in the moment were going to have on their kids when their kids got older. And I don't blame them at all. If anything, I have sympathy for them and compassion, because they must have been in fight or flight mode all the time, to be honest. They had to have been, because they just never had any grounding to them. You know, it was just always, they were both entrepreneurs. They were both constantly trying to just make a buck, right? Make ends meet, put food on the table, make sure the electric was turned on. I can't imagine how stressful that must have been for them. And then at the same time, work on their own marriage, right? Try to keep that going. Try to keep that strong. And they were married young, right out of high school, which a lot of people were back then. So they didn't really have much experience, which, you know, there's no books out there. Well, there are, but not as many as there should be on just getting married and raising a family, right? What does that look like and how to do better with it? So as a child, I'm pretty sure I was in that grocery cart. And I'm pretty sure that my parents didn't put it back when they were finished. And I'm pretty sure that I was raised to think that was normal, because when I heard Wayne Dyer speaking of how important something like that is, it was new to me. And a light bulb went off in my head, because the light bulb was, this is the right message, Christy, for the right time in your life, because you can counteract all that stuff you saw and learned growing up. And there's another way of doing things. And it seemed foreign at first. It really did. And it seemed like I had to constantly check in with myself when these things would happen. Like, ask myself, is that the right thing to do? Even as an example right here, I was thinking back as we're going through this now in my mind. When my son was probably about 4 or 5 years old, I remember driving with him in the car, and he said to me, I was actually eating an apple as I was driving, and I was finishing up the apple, and I went to put the window down, right? I pushed the button to put the window down, and I went to throw the apple core out the window. And he said, Mom, hey, what are you doing? No, Mom, what are you doing? I said, what, what? He goes, no, no, you can't throw that out the window. And I said, well, why not? He said, no, 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 Mom, that's not the right thing to do. And I thought, it's not? And isn't that interesting that my five-year-old son knew the right thing to do and I didn't? And I said, well, why not? Because here I am trying to justify, right, as a parent. Well, there's seeds in the apple, you know, and if I throw it, then it'll land on the ground and the seeds will eventually turn into an apple tree, right? Because that's what I was taught. At least that's what I thought. And he said, no, no, Mom, that's littering. And we're taught in school not to litter. So please don't do that. Just, you know, leave it in the car until we get home and we can put it in the trash can. And at first, I argued with him. And I said, no, 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 you don't know. That's not it. I'm the mom, all that other silly stuff that I used to say. That's not true to me anymore. That's not my truth anymore. But it used to be. Because as a mom, a lot of times we want to be right so badly, right? We want to be the parent. We want to have the last word and teach the children, you know, the right thing to do. But you know what? My son was right. I wasn't right. And you know what? I don't throw the apple out the window anymore. But I know where that came from. It came from growing up watching it in real time, in slow motion. I remember watching my parents throw stuff out the window. And again, this is not to blame them. It's just a witness to what I saw, right? It's just, this is what I thought was okay. And as you raise your children, if you're fortunate enough to have a child in your life or a grandchild or a niece or a nephew, just know this. They're paying attention. They're watching you. It doesn't matter what you tell them at the end of the day. It's not your words. Words do not teach. Actions teach. They are always watching you. And it compounds over time. I know my parents didn't throw just one apple out the window. I know there was numerous times. There had to have been. Or it wouldn't have been such a concrete belief in my mind that this was the right thing to do. And therefore, I would repeat it as a mother, right? If I didn't believe that it was the right thing to do, why would I repeat it? That's the best part about being a mom, to be honest, is being able to choose what to repeat and what not to, and the awareness that comes with it. I remember when my daughter was probably about 8 years old, and I was a single mom at the time. We were living in a condo, and we had our Christmas tree up. It was Christmas Eve. Her and I had the tree all ready to go. I said goodnight to her that night. She went to bed. She went into her bedroom. I went into mine. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, my daughter woke up and she came into my bedroom and she said, Mom, Mom, you're never going to believe this. Santa came. And I said, oh my gosh, really? And she said, yeah, Mom, you have to come see. You have to come see. And I said, well, honey, I believe you, but it's really early in the morning. And she said, I know, Mom, but I just want you to see real quick. Just come out and see. Oh my gosh, you're never going to believe there. All the gifts are out there. And I said, honey, I'm so excited too. But it's so early in the morning, honey. She said, I know, Mom. And I said, how about this? How about you go back to bed and I'll go back to bed and we'll sleep for another 4 hours. And at 7 a.m., we'll both get up together. And we'll both go out and open the gifts. That way we won't be so tired tomorrow because we have a lot to do tomorrow, right? We're going to open gifts and play and have breakfast and all kinds of fun things. And I hate to think we'd be so tired all day tomorrow. So how about we go back to bed and we wake up and do it in the morning? And she said, okay, Mom, all right. Okay, you're right. And she was so sweet. She went back to her bed and I went back to mine. And I remember like it was yesterday. And I laid there and I thought to myself, what am I doing? Why am I going back to bed? Why am I making her go back to bed? Why am I making her wait until 7 o'clock in the morning? Why? Oh, that's right. I remember why. Because that's what my parents used to do. And that's what my mom used to say. And that's what I used to have to do. And I thought, you know what? Today, I'm not doing that. I'm choosing a different, I'm making a different choice. I'm not going to make my daughter go back to bed. I'm not going back to bed. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up. I'm going to turn the lights on. I'm going to go get her out of bed. And I'm going to tell her, let's go open those Christmas gifts. And that's exactly what we did. I got up. I walked in her bedroom. I said, honey. And she said, yeah. And she was still awake. I said, are you still awake? She goes, yeah. I said, me too. Let's go out and let's open those Christmas presents. And she said, really? I said, yeah. She's like, we don't have to wait until 7 o'clock. I said, no, we don't. But would it be okay with you if you open your gifts and then we go back to bed for a little while and then play with them at 7 o'clock? Would that be okay? She said, that would be amazing, Mom. And I said, okay, let's do it. So we went out to our small little living room in our condo. We turned the Christmas lights on. We turned the lights on in the kitchen. We sat down, just the two of us. She opened her gifts. She was so excited. I was so excited too. And she said, okay, Mom, here's the last one. And then we're going back to bed. I said, that sounds good. So she did. She opened her last gift. She went back to her bed. I went back to mine. And at 7 o'clock, we got up and that's what happened. She played with her gifts and we had the best day. And it just, you know what? The best part of that story is that I got to make a choice, right? I got to make it different. I got to make her childhood different than mine. I was able to make it different. I didn't copy and paste my childhood onto hers. I chose a different road. And that's what I've been doing ever since. I think that really set the tone for just me being a mom and me deciding that I'm going to make my own choices as far as discipline, as far as rules, boundaries, just all kinds of things that I was finally able to say, you know, let me step into my own shoes as a mom. That didn't happen when she was 8 months old. It didn't happen when she was 3 years old. It didn't happen until I was finally able to look at her childhood as really just being her childhood and me being her mom and me being able to be the mother that I wanted to be. I was finally able to be the mother I've always wanted to have. And that's deep. It really is. It's a deep, deep truth. And I value my mother. I see my mother everywhere. She's been gone a long time, but I see her everywhere. And I know that she's proud. And I know that she did her best. And I know this is the best part about my mother and I, even though we had a really tough relationship growing up, I know that she's closer to me now than she was ever when she was alive. We really have the most beautiful relationship now. 18 years she's been passed away for, and we are closer now than ever. I just saw her this morning. I see her everywhere. And her and I have our own language that we speak spiritually. And I know that she validates the road I'm on. And I know that she was meant to be my mother in this life, or I wouldn't be the mother that I am in this life. If I didn't have her, I wouldn't be who I am. So yeah. Now, do I make a habit of celebrating Christmas morning at 3 a.m.? No, I don't. No. And our son is 9 years old. And he knows, you know, you have to at least stay in bed until 6 a.m., you know, not too much earlier than that, because we do have a busy day and we don't want to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So maybe you're hearing this story today and you're thinking back to when your kids were small and how special that time was. And maybe you did show up for them in your best self and maybe you didn't. And maybe you can give yourself a little grace for the times that you maybe neglected some things. You know, I think about my parents, I think about the tooth fairy. I think about, there's been times where I remember waking up. Well, okay, I lost a tooth, right? I put my tooth under the pillow, as all kids do, and was told, and I believed that the tooth fairy was coming, right, in my sleep. So I would always get excited. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get money under my pillow. This is so exciting. My tooth will be gone and there'll be money under the pillow in the morning. And I remember waking up a few times and looking under the pillow for the money. And the tooth was still there, but there was no money. And I thought, well, this is strange. Where's the money? And why is my tooth still here? And I asked my parents, hey, the tooth fairy didn't come. And they'd say, oh, they say something like, oh, my goodness, are you sure the tooth fairy didn't come? Really? Are you sure? And I'd say, yeah, the tooth fairy didn't come, Mom. Look, the tooth is here. And they say, oh, that's really strange. And, you know, I can't remember what their excuse was looking back. I don't know. But when I think about neglect, I think about that. I think about, you know, how did you forget? What was more important at that time? Why did you forget? Now, I have grace. I have grace for them because they're not perfect. None of us are. No parent is perfect. We've all made mistakes. But when I think about how did they handle that? You know, did they learn from it? Did they blame themselves for it? Did they blame the other parent? Maybe they said, oh, it was your responsibility, not mine. You should, you know, I don't know. But, you know, it matters. You only have a short time when the kids are young to show up in this magical way for them, right? And they're going to remember. They're going to remember those times that you showed up or you didn't. Because someday they may become parents and then it's really going to show up in their life. Those memories will flood them because their kids now are going through those similar experiences that they went through and they're going to remember how you showed up or how you didn't. And I promise you, it's never too late to show up for your kids, even if they're all grown up now, even if you're 70 years old and you have grown kids in their 30s or 40s. It is not too late. This is your message today. And this is going to come to you on a stronger level. Okay. It is not too late for you to show up for your kids. I promise you it's not. You may have neglected a lot. You may have been away emotionally. Maybe you were out of town. Maybe you had a job that you were always on the road and you just weren't home enough. Maybe you had to put food on the table. Maybe you were just so exhausted from being pulled in so many different directions from your own childhood. And maybe you were not healed. And maybe you just weren't able to be there in the way that you wish you could have been for your kids. Well, guess what? This is your wake-up call. And guess what? Today, you could show up. You could pick up the phone or pick up your computer and you could just send a message or you could make a phone call to one of your kids that maybe needs to hear that today. Maybe they need that. Just that validation. Just you standing up and saying, hey, I'm taking accountability here. I've been doing some thinking and I'm sorry that I didn't put that money under the pillow when the tooth fairy was supposed to come. I'm sorry that I didn't. I should have. And I didn't. I don't know what was more important that night. I have no idea. But I know for sure that that was important. And there's a lot of things that were important that I probably should have shown up for and I didn't. And without giving any excuse for your behavior, just apologize and own it. Because you know what? Your kids don't want the excuses. They don't want to hear the blame game. Well, if your mom wasn't so this or that, or if your dad was around more, you know, no one wants to hear that. Because you know what? You get to an age where you start to realize all that really matters is your ownership to your own personal actions that you took or didn't take. And it's not too late, I promise. It's never too late to own it and to say, hey, I really want you to know that I think of you often. I care about you. I forgive you. And I hope you forgive me for the times that I could have shown up, but I neglected to. That's it. And send it with love. I forgive my mom. I know how much she tried in the areas that she was really good at trying. And that's what's funny about it, you know, is that she was really good at buying healthy food and making smoothies and fresh squeezed orange juice in the morning. She was really, really knowledgeable about fruits and vegetables. And I had a very healthy upbringing as far as nutrition goes. I'm a tall woman. I have a very healthy body. I'm very thankful. I never struggled with cavities as a kid. My mom was so passionate about us brushing our teeth twice a day and sometimes three times a day and sometimes with baking soda right on the toothbrush just to make sure we didn't have cavities. She was just so passionate about those things. And I'm glad she was, because you know what? I've copied and pasted those passions onto my kids. And, you know, it is important to me to have healthy food at home. It is important to me to make sure my kids always brushed their teeth growing up and took care of themselves. It is important to me. So, you know, just know that when you showed up in those ways, it matters. And your kids are repeating it. But wouldn't you hate to think that they're repeating the stuff that wasn't so good? And wouldn't you hate to think that if you were somebody who maybe was drinking every night, and now you see your grown kids drinking every night because that's what they witnessed growing up. And wouldn't you hate to think that you could possibly have something to do with that? And maybe your voice today, just acknowledging that you showed up that way when they were young, maybe could help them change their life so they don't copy and paste everything you did wrong. And maybe you just bring some awareness to it, right? That's all. And just show them. It's never too late. I promise you, your actions are always going to speak so loudly, way louder than your words. So yes, tell them if they're open to hearing it. And if they're not, lead by example. That's another great, powerful lesson I learned years ago. It's just stop asking everybody else to change. Stop wishing and hoping everybody else will show up the way you wish they would. How about you show up the way you wish everybody else would? You be the change, right? You decide not to neglect. You just decide, you know what? I'm not going to push this aside anymore. I'm going to give it my all. For me personally, if I decide to do something, like let's just say something small, come home today, maybe I'll decide, you know what? I'm going to clean the bathroom. That's not my favorite thing to do, to be honest. It's one of my least favorite things to do. But I know that if I neglect to clean the bathroom, that will lead to other parts of my life that are neglected, right? So I know how important that is. So when I decide to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to show up and I'm going to just really put my heart and soul into it. I'm going to make sure that that chore gets all of my attention, right? But of course, it doesn't have to be taxing. It could be fun. I could put music on. I could be in a good mood. I can make a nice hot cup of coffee and drink that and sip that as I'm cleaning and listen to some music or a podcast that I enjoy. So yes, it's a chore. And yes, I'm showing up for it, but I'm showing up for it in the way that really speaks the best to me. And that's how I do everything, especially at home. Everything I'm doing, if I'm doing dishes or if I'm cooking or if I'm cleaning something or getting something, you know, prepared, I always make sure that I'm ready for it. I've decided I'm going to do this today. And secondly, I always decide what mood am I going to be in while I'm doing it? Because that's really important. How you show up impacts everything. It impacts the result of what you're doing. If you're going to make chili today, if you have all the cans of beans and the tomatoes and the spices and everything's on the counter, right? You have your ground beef or ground turkey or however, maybe it's chicken chili, which is delicious, by the way. It's one of my favorites. Well, what mood are you in before you cook? What version of you is showing up before you chop the vegetables and open the cans of beans? Are you in the mode of, oh, I have to do this? It's something I have to cross off the to-do list. I have to do this because when the kids get home and my husband or my wife or whoever gets home, they're going to be so hungry. And this is something I need to do before I do the other things I want to do. Or is it the mindset of, you know what? I'm so thankful to be in a kitchen that I enjoy being in with, you know, with music I can play that I enjoy listening to. And I'm excited to make the chili. I'm excited to chop the vegetables at my own pace. Nobody's here telling me to hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. No, I'm just gonna take my time with it and enjoy the process of cutting and cleaning and opening the cans and putting it all together and maybe putting some new spices in that I haven't used before, or maybe even Googling a recipe that I've never tried before and looking for different ways to make the chili taste different or better than it has in the past. And just thinking about what it's going to be like when everybody comes home and they smell the house and it smells amazing and they're excited to have chili for dinner, right? How about that? And you know what? When you approach the chore of making something like that with the attitude of, I'm excited to do it. I want to do it. I'm looking forward to doing it. And I'm happy to be of service to everyone in my life. But guess what? That chili is going to taste amazing. I don't care if you use generic brand beans. It doesn't matter. It's the energy that you're putting into the food that will then transform through the cooking process to the actual dish that comes onto the table. And that's really the truth. That's one of the truths that I've learned. So with that lesson, I don't do anything I don't feel energetically ready to do or want to do. I make sure that my mind and my heart are aligned, okay, and my mood is aligned so that I don't show up for something in a mood that I'm not in, right? Because it just doesn't pay off in the long run. So that's the message for today. Neglect comes in all different forms. I also see neglect when it comes to pets. So let's talk about that for a minute. I know for sure that, well, we have three pets. Actually, I'm sorry. No, we don't. We have three cats and two dogs. Now, the cats are easy because the cats take care of themselves, but the dogs need a little bit more time and attention, like most of us are aware of, right? When you get a dog, you realize the dog is going to show you what it needs. We have a young dog, so he's a puppy and he wants to play. If he has the tennis ball in his mouth, well, guess what? He wants to play. And we know that. So it's easy to just ignore it, right? Oh, I'm busy right now. Tell the dog, no, we can play later. I'm busy. I don't feel like doing that right now. Or I have other things to do. And okay, well, you can do that. You have freedom to choose to ignore the dog and neglect the dog if you want to. But don't be upset 20 minutes later when the dog chewed up one of your favorite pairs of shoes, or the dog decided to use the bathroom in your closet, or the dog decided to use the bathroom on your kitchen carpet. I'm sorry, your living room carpet. The dog's trying to express to you that it was hoping for your attention that it hasn't been getting, and you ignored it. And you were able to do that because you have freedom to choose, but now look what happened. So you can look at that from two different angles, right? You can be angry with the dog, or you can turn that light around and say, hey, maybe it's me. It's not the dog. The dog was trying to tell me something, and I was too busy to see it. And maybe I need to spend more time tuning into what the dog needs, because I'm the one who decided to get the dog after all, right? It's my dog. And I could just take a few minutes and play with the dog, right? I mean, what's the harm in that? And then maybe the dog would get what the dog needs, and then you'd feel better. So what happens is, at least from my experience, when you put your head on your pillow at night before you go to bed, a lot of this stuff runs through your mind. It just does. How did I show up? How didn't I show up? Could I have been better? You know, it's that self-reflection piece that happens to a lot of us as we grow. And if you did spend a few minutes playing with the dog, or maybe you even went further and took the dog out for a nice long walk that you haven't done in a while, or maybe you put the dog in your car and took it for a ride that you haven't done in a while because you know the dog loves to go for a ride. Or maybe you took the dog to the dog park and let the dog play with other dogs so the dog could interact and have a nice, exciting day, you know, sniffing new places and meeting new friends so it wasn't so bored in your home like it usually is. Maybe you went the extra mile for the dog today. And maybe the dog is the relationship that you've been neglecting. Maybe it's not your mom or dad or your sister or brother or your siblings or your kids or your spouse. Maybe it's the dog or the cat that maybe could use a little bit more of your quality time. Maybe. I don't know for sure. All I can do is speak for me and the relationships that I have, right? My three pets, the kids, my spouse, my extended family, my friends. All I know is how I show up for them. I know that for sure at the end of the day when I put my head on the pillow. I know if I showed up my best or if I could have shown up better, right? That's on me. That's my conscience. That's on my own conscience. So ask yourself, who or what relationship could use the most attention and show up for it? Thank you for listening. This has been such a great talk today. I hope that you walk away feeling that maybe you're inspired to spend a little more time in certain areas of your life that could use your love and attention. Maybe you could finally give it a voice, right? Or you could finally say to yourself, you know what, maybe I'll start doing that little stuff, right? Maybe I'll start putting the toilet paper on the toilet paper roll instead of just leaving it next to the toilet bowl, right? Maybe I'll actually take the time to put it on and do the right thing. And I'll put the shopping cart back. And maybe when I do decide to do the dishes, I'll do them all. I won't leave a few in the sink. I'll complete the project, right? And maybe I'll remember that by leading by example, that is being my best self. And if you have kids, they're watching. They're paying attention. They're noting it in slow motion. They're paying attention and they're seeing it, and it matters. What you do matters. Your actions are speaking very loudly to them. So that's the message for today. Thank you for listening to Parenting Room 101 with your host, Christy. I look forward to seeing you again next week.